Welcome to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. The weird thing about Pocono this year, and the weird thing about Pocono all the time, is one, we race there way too much, way too close. Two, the weather conditions. I mean, we had rain, we had fog. I think the president of Pocono came in and to the MRN booth and said, you want a snowball, because they were waiting for snow. So, crazy race. Of course, rain out on Sunday. Scott?
Yeah, I mean, what was not to like about it? I mean, they were driving through the fog, tornado warnings going off at certain points. Thought it was awesome.
And the president of Pocono's ticked at whatever NASCAR hauler leaked diesel fuel on the track. And he said, this is an expensive cleanup. He should have seen the picture out there. Ticked off about it, you know?
Well, they need to get rid of the weepers. They got the weepers, and that's a problem they've got, too, as far as water weeping out of the cracks in the track. I thought they had paved that place about 3 or 4 years ago, didn't they?
Yeah, they did, but Pocono is Pocono.
Maybe if Jonathan Cantrell's listening and wants to sponsor the show, Caldwell Paving could have went down.
Yeah, I'm sure they could ran some asphalt around that bad boy.
They would have fixed it and got it done in no time. So we had a crazy winter on Monday. We'll talk about that in a second. But the racing on Monday, and for those who listened and didn't work, maybe being, you know, it was pretty decent up front. One of the guys that really kind of surprised me that was in my power rankings, and it's been, you know, doing pretty well, and since Scott's power rankings too.
Yeah.
As I'm looking at him now for last week. But was the 78 car Martin Truex. Seemed like there wasn't a fence that he couldn't hit on Monday, and I don't know if it was because of something that was with the car or whatever, but they kept blowing up tires.
I don't know what it was. I know that going into turn two, he just went straight. The inner liner deflated. They showed a picture of it later on with the valve stem of the inner liner was gone. So, yeah, he lost a lot of air and found a wall.
Yeah, it almost makes you wonder if he was trying to run kind of a different setup. But you wouldn't think that, Jason, at Pocono, where you're not going to be running in the chase, you wouldn't think they're trying new things. But there could have been something they were trying or whatever to, you know, maybe for another flat track.
I don't know. You know, Pocono is one of its own. You know, you don't have any other track out there like that, which is why it's so mind-boggling. What were they doing out there? What were they thinking? What were they trying to accomplish? I don't know. I know is they exited pretty dang early.
You
saw that hauler leaving the track before the race is complete. You had a bad day when that happened.
Yeah, I think Truex's girlfriend was back in Charlotte before the race even got officially called.
Before the fog moved in, I think. So it was kind of crazy, but I did see that tweet where she was already back. But, you know, a lot of the good drivers, it's really hard to tell who was doing really good and who wasn't because of the fact of the fog rolling in and the rain and cutting the race short. You really don't know who would have had a good run or a good car at that point in time.
Well, Jamie, this is what I know Sean was on our show last week, and Sean Whitfield, and he, you know, he was very critical of Pocono. To me, it's become fascinating because there were literally three or four different strategies going on. I had no idea who was on what tires, who was on what strategy. It seemed like for 10 laps, there was a group of guys in the lead, and then for 10 more laps, there was a different group of guys in the lead, and then another group. I thought it was fascinating. I couldn't keep up with it. I'm watching it and trying to listen to it on MRN, and it's confusing. It's going from this guy's the fastest car on the track to, you know, forever we heard that Joey Logano and Kevin Harvick were the two fastest cars on the track, but they were never leading. Logano led for a little bit, but I think those guys maybe led for 10, 12 laps total. So it was really fascinating to see. I'm trying to look and see. Yeah, I think Harvick led 7 laps. And Logano's on farther down the list because Chase Elliott wrecked him. But I mean, they did. I just thought it was fascinating. Now the racing itself, the restarts are fabulous at that place because they are literally they're 7 wide, and they got about once they get 7 wide, they got about 300 yards to get it into 2 wide, or they're going to start wrecking. So I think the restarts at that place is pretty fabulous. The race, once they get spread out, it can get a little boring, and it does turn into a little bit of fuel mileage stuff. But I thought overall that the race itself had a lot of intrigue. Thoughts?
That
was great radio there,
Jason,
for a second.
Jason was moving his hand like he was going to say something, so I just looked over and then I got the look.
I'm sure he's going to rant about Junior. Wasn't even there, and
we're
this is going to turn
we're
into.
We're going to give him that. That's going to be. We got a new sponsorship for that. We're going to let him have that here in a minute.
No, I'm good, guys. It's just frustrating.
You did mention Joey Logano was kind of an interesting. Turn of events there where Chase Elliott comes in, gets loose, and goes into him. You know, the one thing about Logano at that point in time is he actually handled it like an adult at the end, and it may have been Chase Elliott being the rookie sent an apology pretty quick, but did say it was a racing thing. I kind of expected
wouldn't you wish that Logano would follow in those shoes sometimes and send out an apology really? As many times as he's wrecked people?
It's mostly, you know, tell that guy to get out of my way next time. That's the way he rolls. So, but that was kind of interesting. Several good runs. Kevin Harvick did really well. Interesting to see Tony Stewart. This kind of streak that he's on, Arnold, is now, you know, continuing going forward. Four or five races now, Tony Stewart's been in contention after the win.
Yeah, he's been running well. He's got it together right now. He's always seems to be running well. He's up front. You're starting to see him with that lead pack more and more and more.
And I tell you what, guys, this reminds me of the Tony Stewart when he won his last championship. Remember, he did absolutely nothing for a long time, got hot, got in the chase, and won the championship.
Yeah, and he winning five races out of the final 10 in got himself into a tie and had to break the tie by winning the race to win the final race.
This is the best he's ran in 4 years. This is the best he's ran in 4 years.
Well, and yeah. If you want to say a comeback driver of the year, I mean, if this continues with this kind of streak for what he went through in the beginning and really what he's been through in the past couple years, and to come back and really run this car well and finish up and come into a road course, Jason, where he runs really well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to look at Tony Stewart. He's been one of the favorites going into Watkins Glen this weekend. Really looking forward to watching Watkins Glen this weekend because of all the dud races, in my opinion, that we've had in the past. I'm looking forward to seeing some passing, some bumping out there on the track. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
I do want to add this. I thought for the first time Monday as I was watching the race that Tony Stewart could win a championship. And I don't know that I've thought that. I thought it was a great story, and I thought that organization has been running well. And maybe I was getting confused because there were three Mobile One cars out there, and it was just hard to tell which one was which. But for the first time, I felt like, oh, my goodness, Tony Stewart is good enough. The way they've been running, yep. and it's not just one style of track. It's at multiple type of tracks right now. They're running well enough that he could be a factor in this chase. And I do it 6 weeks ago. It was a great story. He's coming back. He's running well. Blah 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 blah. But for 2 years, I thought, you know, I didn't know if he'd ever win a race again, let alone compete for a championship. And I think he can compete for a championship now. And that is new. That is something new that I didn't think was possible even a month and a half ago.
You know, the thing of it is, we're coming into that summer season, which Tony's always elevated his game during the summer when it's hot and slick. And he carries that on into the fall like he's doing right now. They look out for him that last last race and see if he gets there. And if he's in that final race in contention to win the championship, I wouldn't bet against him.
Well, think about this. You know, in the past couple of seasons we've been doing the show and we've been talking about it, I've really thought of Tony, and I think you guys have too, because we've talked and been so much critical of him, whether it be, you know, he's taken so much of a car ownership role or whatnot, or just lost it. You know, you really think of him being on the level the past couple of seasons as like a Ricky Stenhouse or somebody out there like a Greg Biffle, somebody that's really not a contender for any given week. And you know, there was a lot of focus last year on the new package. He couldn't get it. He liked the more horsepower, but he's really running good. And now I think, like I said, he's a favorite going into Watkins Glen, and he's running very well. Could get it done.
It's almost like he's got all of this stuff that he's had behind him now. I mean, you think about Watkins Glen. It was, what, 2 years ago that, you know, he accidentally hit the guy in New York or whatever at the dirt track. And so they've got the civil thing going on now and stuff like that, but he's probably not as much involved in that. But how long does it take you to get over that? And then the injuries that he's had, and then the back issue, you know, at the first of this year. It's almost probably like this is probably the best he's felt in a while, with nothing hanging over his head, no injuries to worry about. He can go out and drive a car. But I have to believe this unknown crew chief that he's got, what's his name? Is it Boogs? Booger or something like that? Something funky his first name is. Maybe our crack research staff will check that out for us. But relatively unknown, but could make a name for himself. If he keeps running this well and finishes well in the chase, this could be a big thing for his crew chief, especially if, I mean, you think about free agents in football. This guy could make some money next year or whatever, and has done a good job with Tony Stewart so far.
Well, Tony really likes him, and Tony brought him in to be the crew chief, and he's a rookie crew chief. He's never crew chiefed a team before. So he's doing a great job, and apparently he and Tony are really on the same page.
It seems like they found something. I know, Scott, he kept mentioning earlier this year and last year, and Jason just alluded to it, about the package and not being able to find that. I mean, I wonder how that changes for a driver, where you can gripe about it for a year and a half, and then all of a sudden, boom, it clicks.
Well, in this sport, it's small gains. These guys make small. When you look at the Toyotas, and they've been able to run so well and be so strong the last, you know, the last year and a half, really, or really about, it was about this time last year, Kentucky last year, they really started to get it going. And as these other teams start to figure stuff out, but they don't make, it's not like you go to the track 1 week and you're in the middle of the pack, and then the next week you're the fastest car on the track. Usually it's very incremental. You get a little bit better. And it seems like this organization has got, outside of Kevin Harvick, because he's been, you know, the outlier in that group, but everybody seems to be running with a little more consistency, a little more speed. And, you know, and part of it could be Tony's a little healthier now. He's starting to feel it. It could be the momentum of the end of the run. We saw a little bit of this with Jeff Gordon last year. Hey, I'm about to wind up my career. Let's go out with a bang. It could be a lot of small factors where we're starting to just see consistent week in and week out speed in that car, and that just bodes well for him having a chance to make a strong bid in the chase. So I'm excited. It really kind of hit me this week. I'm like, man, this guy really can win the championship, or at least be a factor in it. And it's just, I never dreamed that was going to be the case.
Our crack research staff has gotten back to us. It's Mike Bugerwitz, and maybe you, from being up north, Scott, you would know how to pronounce that.
Hey, that works for me, man.
Right, so we'll go with that. But
anyway,
calls
him Booger, or yeah, Boog, or whatever.
Calls him Boog. I think that's Boog's what it is. So very good there. All right, surprise winner. We need to get to this because we do have Alex Hayden from MRN coming on at 5:30. Always a pleasure to talk to him. Chris Buescher. Now, don't go looking in your programs, because he did win the Xfinity Series Championship last year and drove for Jack Roush. This year, driving for a relatively normally back-of-the-pack team in Front Row Motorsports, but gets the win, and a huge win for Chris Buescher, because it puts him in the chase. Almost, Jason. Where is he at?
He's 31st.
31st. How many points is he out? Six. That's it.
I'll
so I'd already had that, yeah, in my head. So
he's Trevor Bain out.
He's Trevor. So he's got to get six more points between now and Richmond or whatever to get in. But and who knows? I mean, that's one that you look at. It's like, I think we were texting about this or whatever. But it's almost like the Eric Almirola of getting in last year or the year before last. I mean, Eric did fairly well, but wrecked and got out at Chicago. But you got to think there's going to be one of these guys, and when you've got your Talladegas and your Daytonas, there's one of these guys that can get in every year that you don't really expect to win the championship, but it's really a product of the way you get into this chase.
Yeah, but don't you expect those guys to win at Daytona or Talladega? I mean, yeah, you're looking at those are lottery number tracks.
A Buescher gets caught up right.
Right.
In the middle,
I mean, Eric, when you mentioned Eric Almirola, well, where did he win? He won at Daytona.
A rain shortened Daytona.
So those are just kind of. I mean, the last front row motorsports win was where? Talladega a couple years ago. So those are the lottery tracks where you're just throwing names in a hat and picking somebody out and somebody's winning.
But I tell you what, to win at
a track like that is like Pocono is really kind of unique. Now, granted, weather plays a factor all the time. It's part of the sport.
It's an
outdoor sport, and they just happen to gamble. When you're a team that's used to finishing way back in the pack and you can make a gamble.
You got nothing to lose.
Wait. And he rolled the dice. The fog rolled in, and he's your champion.
Look at who his crew chief is.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Bob Osborne.
You know, somebody who is a
I think
very
that was his 19th
chief.
Win in yeah. Sprint Cup. So this guy is talented.
But, you know, the one thing this does, and we'll hear from him in just a second, but one thing this does is this takes somebody's chance of getting in the chase that hasn't won a race yet down there 16, 15, 14. You know, it makes it where they're either going to have to win or they're going to have to get lucky, and hopefully nobody else wins that has not already won this year. So if you're Casey Kane, Kyle Larson, Jamie McMurray, or Chase Elliott, you got to be thinking one of your spots is gone. And you could even go up higher than that to Austin Dillon in 11. It pushes everybody down. So right now, Casey Kane's on the outside looking in because of a guy that would never win a race has won a race.
Well, and there's two, and we'll get to the standings here in just a little bit, but there's two guys that are outside of the top 16 right now that have wins. Tony Stewart being one. Now you got Chris Buescher being another one. So now you're looking at Jamie McMurray in 14th being the cutoff. So yeah. Larson has run well and had some success. Somebody like Chase Elliott, who's all of a sudden has had some struggles. They're now, they're one more bad race from not being able to qualify for this thing. You got to think that Buescher, only 6 points back, they're going to be getting all the support they can from Ford and all that and from Roush to making sure that car can get into the top 30 and get into the chase, because that's a big deal.
That's one thing I was fixing to mention is, don't you think that everybody in the Ford camp is going to look at this and say, I don't care if you're Roger Penske or Jack Roush or whoever you've got something that can get this car into that top 30, let's get it done.
We're going to get it into the top 30.
But you just brought up a point, Jack Roush. You look at Jack Roush, there's no Jack Roush car in the top 16.
You got 17,
Trevor Bayne,
and
17, and then 19. So you've got a relatively unknown driver, a pretty known driver, but in an unknown team that is in the chase now, and you've got no Roush cars in there. That kind of tells you where Roush is at this year in years past.
Oh, it does, but still, you got to expect Ford to say, I don't care how we do it, we may have to pull Penske stuff over here to do it, but let's get this guy into the chase.
Yeah, so that's huge. Well, let's hear from Chris Buescher on his first Sprint Cup win of his career right now.
Typically, you like to drive in here today, but I'm assuming this will be okay for you.
Yeah, we'll walk in here. We don't have any of the team here yet even, just really proud of them. They stuck in there, getting that damage fixed on our Dockside Logistics Ford. Making sure that we were in a good place to get the strategy and make it work out. And, a lot of guys that were on a similar strategy hit pit road right before we did, and they made the call up on the box to pull it off. So this is going to stir up our whole year. We're really, really happy for everybody we've had on board with CSX and Love Travel Stops to get everybody in the chase. And now we just got to make sure we're top 30 in points.
What was this wait like just now, Chris?
Oh, that was stressful. I was trying not to get my hopes up because I know how these things can play out. And, Mother Nature can be really nice sometimes, or it can be really mean. And if that sun would have come out, it would have changed our whole day. But, thanks to all the support from Ford. We had a little bit of team building this week leading up to this race.
Oh, like what?
A little bit of paintball. I may have shot Blaney in the back of the head by accident. little knocker balls. Just had a good time with them. So thank you for Ford for all their support. We're having a blast with it. Get Front Row Motorsports back in victory lane. It's a different way to do it, but we're having a lot of fun here.
Well, when it's for his first interview, a pretty long interview, so it's like he's done that before.
Yeah.
All right, when we come back, we will talk about some news from the Dale Earnhardt Jr. camp, and then also at 5:30 we'll have Alex Hayden from MRN Motorsports. The Pit Reporter does a fantastic job every week in, week out. We'll talk to him at 5:30. We'll be back. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239.
What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here. Home Rate Mortgage. 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Jamie Kyle, Jason Hildebrand, Arnold Tarpley, and Scott Webb recapping what we call the 24 hours of Pocono with the two days of racing at Pocono, or one day of setting. And
listen, I'll be honest with you. The golf tournament was pretty cool Sunday, so I was glad that I didn't have to split my attention.
Or your nap. So, it was relatively cool. You had Chris Buescher as the first-time winner in the Sprint Cup, gets one from Front Row Motorsports. All right, let's talk about some real quick news before we go back to break and then come back with Alex Hayden. It was announced today that Jeff Gordon would drive at Watkins Glen and then drive at Bristol. So that is going to be at least two more races that they're going to drive. Scott, you heard the Dale Jr. download on Monday. He was kind of describing what he was going through.
Yeah, if you get a chance, you may want to down that. It was a full 50 minutes with him and Mike Davis just talking about some of the process and some of the things that he's been experiencing. It was really an interesting listen. It gave you real insight into what's been going on with him and how desperate. You know, I got in an argument with Harner this afternoon. He's like, Junior's never going to drive again. I'm like, come on now. Come on.
It's easy to get in an argument with Harner.
Yeah, he's all right. He'll be back.
Yeah, so and he had some good news today where he came out and said that his doctor visit was promising. But Jeff Gordon's going to drive for two races for those of us going to Bristol. We'll get to see Jeff Gordon one more time before he takes off again. But, you know, Jeff Gordon runs good at Bristol, so that could be a big thing, and a pretty darn good road course driver.
Also keeps his seatbelts fast.
Yeah, no kidding. That was kind of cool at Pocono.
Yeah, I bet it was real cool.
Yeah, he thought it was.
I bet it was real cool. I'm going to do 201 miles an hour down to turn one with those seatbelts on. It's like that dude that jumped out of the airplane with no parachute the other day. That's crazy.
Par for the course for the 88, though, right, Jay?
Yeah, you know, it's just one of the things that happens. We've seen kind of quirky happen with that team over the past few years. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me, to be honest with you.
I mean, Junior steering wheel comes off at Daytona, and then Jeff loses his
I guess the biggest surprise is they're able to get all the lug nuts on. Yeah. That's the biggest surprise.
They've gotten better at that.
Yeah, no kidding. And there was a tweet from Rodney Childers this past week or whatever that said, hard for me to believe that somebody cheats during the race and wins and gets a $25,000 fine or whatever, and that's it. And he said, and we're a lug nut short that somebody missed, and I get suspended for a race.
I heard a rant on that last week, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got no comment.
Okay. It was kind of good. All right, we need to go back to break.
All about the kids.
Yeah, that's it. When we come back.
I'll comment on that. Don't get me started on that.
When we come back, we'll have Alex Hayden, pit reporter from MRN Radio, good friend of the show. He'll be on, and we'll talk to him when we come back. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage. On 101.3,
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner, and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll, and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to the Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Got a full studio today, and it's always, always a great pleasure to have our friend of the show with MRN Radio. Great pit reporter, pre-rate, you name it, he does everything at MRN, they just don't know it. But I will tell you this, if you ever want to get stuck in an airport or have a delay, always go with Alex Hayden. You will find some way to get stuck in an airport or have a delay. Alex, you've been traveling, I guess, for the last 3 or 4 days, so did you have more problems at the airport?
I did. You know, Philadelphia is just a screwed-up airport anyway, and by the time, you know, we race Monday afternoon, we deal with the fog, something out of a horror movie, and then all of a sudden we get to the airport, which Philadelphia Airport's 2 hours from Pocono. You got to come out of the mountains, kind of like the Darlings do on the Andy Griffith Show. You come out of the mountains and get down to town, and then you get to town, and they have a little, and everything gets delayed. It's so messed up. But, you know, that's part of the charm, I guess.
Well, and it probably did get into your normal afternoon baseball game Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever you go, that you see your feet propped up on the wall. I think they got a special section down there for your shoe modeling, you know, where you put your feet up on the side. And
That's a sponsorable
event.
Event,
yeah.
I'm trying to get a deal out of it.
You can see, not the Michael Jordans. We'll have the Alex Haydens. That's what they'll be called. Yeah. So they'll come out every year. But, Alex, interesting, you know, we called it the 24 hours of Pocono, you know, with Sunday and then into Monday. And I did listen to you while I was at work, sitting at my desk at the bank, having fun, you know, taking care of clients maybe while I was listening to the race broadcast. But just seemed odd this weekend with, you know, with the rain. I mean, the only thing we didn't have up there was snow. But there was also so many things that happened on the race. You never thought Martin Truex would, you know, would hit all three walls. I think he did. He may still be hitting a wall. But and then Jeff Gordon having his seatbelt come unbuckled. It was just a weird weekend for NASCAR racing.
It really was. And those are just a couple of the highlights of it. There were so many things that were taking place that were just odd. And there's just no other way to say it. Weird's a good word. Odd, strange. Pick your adjective. But you know, that's part of, they call it the tricky triangle, and it certainly had a lot of tricks up its sleeve over the weekend. I mean, it's Pocono, then it turned into Pocono, and then finally, when we reached halfway Monday, it turned into Poca Yet. So we were pretty much jumping up and down at the halfway point, because we knew at least the race was going to go. And the fans, too. I mean, it was a heck of a crowd that came back. It was slated to be Sunday, one of the largest crowds to catch a NASCAR race at Pocono Raceway in the last 7 years.
Oh, wow.
So, there was a ton of fans that were there that were ready to go. It's just unfortunate we had to come back and race on Monday.
Hey, Alex, you know, Richard Petty had came out with earlier this week and said some stuff to AutoWeek.com, basically about Brian France, the way NASCAR's being ran now instead of, you know, Bill France Sr. and Jr. Your thoughts on that? I mean, is it a general feeling around in the pits about that? I mean, you got any thoughts about those quotes at all?
It's different, but, you know, Brian France, even though he's the son of Bill France Jr., the grandson of Bill France Sr., our sports founder, he's still his own person. He's his own person, and let's face it, the world we're living in now is completely different technology-wise than the when the sport was founded and even when Bill Jr. was running the sport. So we don't know how either one of those two guys would have been able to handle the sport in today's society and what's going on in general society, let alone the technology world. So, you know, Brian's doing the best he can, and, you know, he's our leader, for better or for worse, and I agree. I hear it, and I'm on the same side. Sometimes I kind of scratch my head and want to go, Brian, what are you doing? But sometimes I think, well, Brian, well, that makes some sense on that type of decision. So, you know, he's trying to find his own footing. He's trying to do it his way. It's just different, and I try to be open-minded about that. And believe me, I'm not trying to give you the politically correct NASCAR answer. Even though the France family, they own MRN, and technically I work for the France family, sometimes I still question it. Sometimes I just scratch my head and think, what in the world are you guys thinking?
Right.
We are talking to MRN's Alex Hayden here on the Finish Line on Talk 101 through the Buzz. Alex, what does a win for Chris Buescher and Front Row Motorsports means? I mean, it's been so long, and they've struggled. What does it, regardless of how you get a win, your name's still on the trophy. What does it mean for Chris and that organization?
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. Only the second ever win for that race team. First coming when David Ragan won at Talladega a couple 3 years ago. But it's huge. And for a small team, and let's put this into perspective. We say small team, even though they run two cars, Landon Castle drives the other car. Sometimes they bust out a third car. It just depends if they had the money to do it or not. Any given what we call big team, their annual budget ranges from $21 to $28 million per car. Per season.
Wow.
Whereas Front Row Motorsports will run two cars, Landon Castle and Chris Buescher, full time this year on $10 million. They're doing two cars on $10 million every week. So that kind of gives you an idea. I mean, in the sport of NASCAR racing, speed costs money. And the question is how fast do you want to go? That's all it boils down to as far as that goes. For a small team to come out and pick up a win, no matter how it's done. Believe me, they're not going to give the trophy back because it was a fog-shortened race. There's been a bunch of races over the years with a lot of big-name drivers that have won rain-shortened races. They didn't give the trophy back. They're not going to do it. That's just part of it. I love it in the fact that isn't this kind of what our chase was built around? To give
Absolutely.
Somebody that doesn't necessarily run top five every week an opportunity. If you can win a race and be inside the top 30 in points, you're going to race for a championship. And there's been a lot of negative comments and a lot of negative feedback out online and some of the shows I've listened to around the country and in my local area about, it doesn't matter. They don't deserve a spot in the chase because they're not a front-running team. Well, I got news for these people because I just pound my hand in the steering wheel and I say, okay, Chase Elliott drives for Hendrick Motorsports. He may get in the chase via point. Ryan Blaney drives for the Wood Brothers, associated with Team Penske. He may get in on points. But you know what? Chris Buescher's a rookie, too, and he's won more than they have in the Sprint Cup Series. Chris Buescher has already got more wins to his credit in the Cup Series than Austin Dillon and Kyle Larson combined. So, I mean, when you stop and put it into perspective, that's what this chase format's all about. Is Buescher inside the top 30 in points? No, he's not. He's just a handful of points out, and realistically, they can get inside the top 30 this weekend at Watkins Glen and have a chance to run for a championship. I think most of the fans who are kind of upset about this are upset because it may be their driver who has not got a win yet that may be racing for points, because Buescher's win, if he gets inside the top 30, takes away one more spot. We've got 12 different winners right now, which means at this moment, there's only four people can get in on points as it stands right now before we have the cutoff race in Richmond. And that may dwindle if we have some other. I think it's great. If they make the chase, more power to them, that will be huge, not only for the team, but it will be big for the sport and people who potentially want to join NASCAR to say, you know what, it can be done. So let's give it a shot.
Aaron, I heard you talking on the pre-race show about Hendrick Motorsports and kind of their status right now. Do you think it's possible they may have got a little bit complacent sitting on top for as long as they have?
You know, I don't necessarily think it's complacent as much as that I think everybody else has caught up with them. For years, they were head and shoulders above everybody. I think everybody, specifically Joe Gibbs Racing, you know, and Toyota in general, they put their head down and gone to work. It was only a couple of years ago, if you remember, just two seasons ago, Toyota was blowing engines right and left, and they had to literally dial the horsepower back on their engines to try to figure out the reliability on it. They had some problems two short years ago. Well, they've worked through that, and now Toyota's gone top. I think another thing that's really hurting Hendrick Motorsports, and a lot of people may forget about this, is at the beginning of the season, Stewart Haas Racing, who leases engines and chassis from Hendrick Motorsports, announced at the beginning of the season that they were going to Team Ford next year. And I'll tell you for a fact, because I've talked to Greg Zipidelli and a lot of other people, that the communication between Hendrick Motorsports and Stewart Haas Racing has ceased. They do not share notes. They don't talk at all. So they don't have those other four cars at Stewart Haas to rely on for more information. There's basically been a wall built between those two organizations. Even though Stewart Haas continues to run Hendrick chassis this year and Hendrick engines, and when you stop and look at it, Kurt Busch, Tony Stewart, Kevin Harvick, they've all won races. They're beating Hendrick Motorsports with their own stuff, even though there's a lack of communication going on.
And it seems like, too, Alex, that, I mean, you think about the Hendrick Motorsports team. I mean, you got Jimmy Johnson there. Casey Kane hasn't been that good. And then you've got, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. that is out with the concussion-like symptoms. I want to talk about that for a second. It seems like that part of me wants to say, Alex, that if I'm Dale Earnhardt Jr., I've got 350 million reasons not to come back, you know, and I could just go be a team owner and you know, I could be a successful team owner because I've got all the resources, because I've got a partnership with Hendrick. Or, you know, come back and risk the fact that you could – you know, have some sort of injury again with a concussion that could severely damage you for the rest of your life, and then you go into that ownership role handicapped in a way. So by announcing that Jeff Gordon's going to be at Watkins Glen and then at Bristol, I wonder what the thought process is for Dale Earnhardt Jr. going in after that. Will he come back, or will he just say, look, let's just mail it in and be done for the year and come back next year, or is that retirement looming over his head?
I think all of those options are on the table. I will tell you, Dale Jr. does not want to quit racing yet. Any professional athlete wants to go out on their terms. Nobody wants to retire because of injury. However, Dale Jr. understands the risk. He understands what's at stake should he get another concussion, let alone a severe concussion, because we're talking the rest of his life here.
Right.
He understands that. The doctors understand that. That's why he sought out the very best, and the doctors at the University of Pittsburgh, who are the forefront of concussion symptoms and treating them. They're working very closely on this. At this point, I don't think anything is off the table. I can see Junior coming back in a few weeks. I can see Dale staying out of the sport the rest of the year, and I can see Dale stop racing altogether. I really can. I can see all three scenarios. I just don't know where he stands. I will tell you, I'm getting kind of a buzz. I got a text message earlier this morning from a buddy of mine inside Hendrick Motorsports that said Dale Jr. is going to address the media Friday at Watkins Glen. That's the word on the street. It's all rumor, but it came from inside Hendrick Motorsports. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen. But if that's the case, we'll certainly learn a lot more come Friday.
And wouldn't that be a shocker? You know, I was thinking on the way up here from work or whatever about NASCAR without Dale Jr. And you think about the most popular driver for the last 11 years, and the struggles that NASCAR has had of drawing people to the tracks and viewership and stuff like that. Who's the next? I mean, you've got Jimmie Johnson setting on, you know, almost an opportunity to have the most championships, or at least, you know, be there and mentioned with Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty. But after that, it kind of falls off because Tony Stewart's going out, Jeff Gordon's out. That next person hasn't really stepped up, Alex, to be able to take over the sport's most popular driver from, you know, a Dale Earnhardt Jr. Are you there, Alex?
With the amount of fans that he has, I just don't see how anybody had a real legitimate chance at being most popular driver. So with that being said, every year and every season and every sport is a changing of the guard.
Right.
There's always going to be new drivers, whether drivers retire on their own by injury or perhaps by getting killed, whatever the case may be, there's always going to be somebody else. The sport's not going to stop. It's the same when Richard Petty retired. When Richard Petty retired, that race in Atlanta, the last race of the season, Richard Petty, it was his final race. It was Jeff Gordon's very first race. So in that one race, we had a changing of the guard. There's plenty of drivers. Chase Elliott is going to be a megastar.
Right.
He can be one. Eric Jones is going to be a megastar in this sport. You got guys like Daniel Hemric, Tyler Reddick that are running in the Truck Series that are going to be spectacular young race car drivers in the Sprint Cup Series at some point. It's no different than any other sport. Take the NBA. It was the Michael Jordan era, and everybody said, what's going to happen when MJ decides to hang up the high top? What's going to happen to the NBA? Well, what happened was is Kobe Bryant came along.
Right.
Some kid out of high school out of Philadelphia. Well, what's going to happen when Kobe stops? Kobe stops, we got this guy named LeBron. We got this guy named Steph Curry. It's the same in NASCAR. There's always going to be somebody else to step up and be the leader of the pack, if you will, as far as popularity and to help carry the sport into the new generation.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And I guess it's just hard to think about now, because he's still, you know, there and there's been no announcement. And I know we're talking, I hate sports, you know, people that get on the radio and they're like, well, who's going to take over after this coach goes or whatever. So I hate talking about that, but just the, what he's brought to, you know, to NASCAR and stuff like that, it would be a huge loss. But like you said, there will always be somebody there to get it done. So, Alex, where are you heading at this week? You going to the Glen?
Watkins Glen tomorrow morning. We'll fly up and get ready to turn left and right. New pavement at Watkins Glen, which means they did a Goodyear tire test. They had 25 teams there a couple of weeks ago, and it was a unanimous decision from the teams with Goodyear which tire to run. It's a very hard compound tire. So even though the track is going to be super grippy, the hard tire means the cars are going to slide around on that track. So it's a lot of fun. I think road course racing at Watkins Glen is always something special and spectacular. I don't think this is going to be any different. And not only that, but Michael Prinnip, the president of the racetrack, has already said they're expecting a record crowd at Watkins Glen this weekend based on sales already. So I think we're in for something special once
again.
It
should be a lot of fun. I can't wait for it. The road course, there's not enough of them, and this is I maybe like Sonoma a little better, but it should be a great race. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and if you think about it, Alex, too, you're gonna be watching cars go out of the pit in the opposite direction, so that might mess you up a little bit. So
that's a great point. It's the only time all year long that pit crews have to pit these cars the opposite way. Normally, they're coming in from right to left. Well, Watkins Glen, the way the track is shaped and the way pit road is, they come in left to right. So the fuel man is actually going to be putting fuel in on the right side of the car, and they're going to go to the left side to change tires first. They got to do everything opposite, and somebody always gets tripped up. Even though they practice this, somebody always gets tripped up and a little confused, and it always results in a nice change of pace in the middle of the race. One other thing that Watkins Glen has that's such a challenge is the pit road from about halfway on down towards pit exit is all downhill.
It's downhill, yeah.
So, yeah, look for somebody to have a tire roll away and have a penalty.
That's absolutely right. It's just such a unique track. It should be a lot of fun this week. I'm really looking forward to it.
So it'll be good. Sorry to interrupt you, Alex. So what's the you do the pre-race show too? I want to make sure everybody has the opportunity to listen to you, because I've heard you do some of the pre-race stuff and you do really well. So do you do that as well on Sundays?
This coming weekend, I will not be on any pre-race shows, which is good and bad. It's good for me because I don't have to do extra homework. I do enough the way it is. It's also kind of bad because it's fun to do, and you get to have some fun with that. So no pre-race for me this weekend. For Saturday's Xfinity race, I'll be actually in a turn, and for the Cup race Sunday, I'll be in the middle of pit road trying to keep up with all the crazy strategies that take place.
Well, that'll be great. It's always good to listen to you, Alex. You do a great job down there. I always tell people, you know, all the time to listen to MRN because of the great coverage that you get, especially from the pit area. All you guys down there do a fantastic job of describing, you know, what we can't see, and that's a really cool thing and a really good talent, and you do a great job at it, so we really appreciate that.
No, that's very kind of you. I appreciate that. I really do.
All right, well, we'll let you get ready to do whatever you do in the day in between travel. So just hopefully you don't get stuck at the airport this time and you make it to New York up there safe, and have a good call this week.
Thanks so much. Let's hope. I got to go back to Philadelphia tomorrow, so we'll find out.
Good deal, Alex. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alex.
Have a great week.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thanks. That's Alex Hayden with MRN Radio, Pit Reporter. You can hear him right here on 101.3 The Buzz every Saturday and Sunday for the Xfinity race and the Sprint Cup race. All right, we need to take a break. When we come back, we'll have our power rankings, and I love that song, along with our picks to win for Watkins Glen. You're listening to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.
MLS 2239. What would you do with all that cash? Listen up, y'all. Ben Phillips here, Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. $1,200. That's how much we just put back in a Saudi Daisy family's pocket per month. All they did was pick up the phone. 805-9100. That's 805-9100. Get that quick quote now. 805-9100. HomeRateMortgage.com.
Y'all step back to 1864 and relive the South's finest hour. Witness a moving performance and dig into the greatest Southern recipes direct from the Confederate White House. Loads of fun food and unfiltered Southern history. The Button Willow Civil War Dinner Theater is just minutes from Chattanooga. Y'all got a call for reservations, 658-7478. We're straightening out Yankees one at a time.
Hey folks, Dale from Dale's Heating and Air. We all know things work better when they are maintained and serviced on a regular basis. Your car, your yard, even relationships. Well, your heating and air system is no different. When is the last time your heating and air conditioning was serviced? Can't remember? Well, spring is just around the corner and warm weather will be here soon. What's that mean for your heating and air conditioning system? It means it's time to call Dale's Heating and Air to make sure old man winter didn't take its toll and your air conditioning is ready to keep your family cool and comfortable this season. When your heating and air conditioning is working at its best, you get the comfort you want, save money, and your system will last longer. Now is the best time to call Dale's Heating and Air to schedule maintenance on your heating and air conditioning system. For service you can trust, just call Dale's. 236-4600. That's 236-4600 or online at justcalldales.com.
MLS 2239. Do you want to achieve the American dream in 2016? Listen up, y'all. I'm Ben Phillips with Home Rate Mortgage, 805-9100. We just helped a police officer purchase his first home in East Brainerd. Now he's grilling and chilling on his back deck. The American dream. You could achieve it with no money down options. Why wouldn't you call? 805-9100, HomeRateMortgage.com.
Welcome back to The Finish Line, powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3 The Buzz. Always great to have Alex Hayden from MRN Radio on. Man, good information that you get from Alex Hayden.
Listen, he drops some nuggets today.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to see if that Friday press.
I want to see how good his sources are
from inside the organization. Yeah. So
I bet they're pretty good.
Yeah, I would say they're pretty rock solid.
I would say that would probably happen. All right, we need to move. We need to go to the Chase standings. This is brought to you by College Press.
Yeah.
Taking care of their printing needs so you don't have to. Go to cplitho.com or look them up on Google. You can call them and they will print for you and ship for you very well. Scott Webb.
Driver standings right now, Kevin Harvick is still on top. Brad Keselowski second with four wins. He is actually atop the chase grid. Kurt Busch is third. Kyle Busch is fourth. Carl Edwards is fifth. Joey Logano sixth. Jimmy Johnson seventh. Martin Truex Jr. eighth. Denny Hamlin ninth. Matt Kenseth tenth. Austin Dillon, the first one with no victories, in 11th. Ryan Newman 12th. Chase Elliott in 13th. Jamie McMurray 14th. Now this is where it gets tricky. 15th is Kyle Larson. Casey Kane is 16th. But you got to remember that Tony Stewart and if Chris Buescher gets into the top 30, both of those guys would jump up to the top ahead of those without any wins. So those sitting in 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, and below need some good things to start happening over the course of the next five races.
It's going to be very, I'm telling you, this will come down to where it's going to be pretty good at Bristol and going into Richmond. So should be very nice. All right, that's your Chase Cred brought to you by College Press, taking care of your printing needs so you don't have to. www.cplitho.com. All right, let's get to power rankings. I'll go ahead and start. Did these the show prep was great.
Was outstanding. Yeah. We've been doing this show for a while now, and the detail that was put into the show prep this week was literally,
was great. The highlighted parts and
It was just terrific. Yeah. I don't. There's nothing really more I can say.
As they pop up on the screen. All right, so I've got Kyle Busch as my first still there. You never know what you were going to see on Monday, and had it going 22 more laps and people had to make pit stops, he very well could have done something there. Then I've got Kevin Harvick. Martin Truex, even after his bad day on Monday, running into walls, I still think he's doing pretty well, got a fast car, and should be good this week. And then I've got Carl Edwards in the 19 being four, and then I have the two of Brad Keselowski rounding out my top five. Notice there's no Hendrick drivers in the top five, kind of indicative of what we just talked about.
I was just looking. Was there even a Hendrick driver on the page last week?
There was not.
There's not.
No.
So, well, that should tell you the state of Hendrick Motorsports.
Well,
right
you
now.
Could have said the 41 that's running their stuff, but that's about the only one that was on there last week, and Arnold had him. And you
and
had
four.
Him.
Yeah,
and
the four
Jason
car.
Had him. Yeah, the four, too. That's four. True. So you could say he's a Hendrick car. All right, my pick to win for Watkins Glen. That rhymes. Is the 78 of Martin Truex Jr.
I like it.
All right, my power rankings this week, I'm going with Kyle Busch in the first spot, Brad Keselowski in the second spot, Kevin Harvick third, Kurt Busch fourth, 22 of Joe Logano fifth, and I'm going to go a couple years ago, I'm going A.J. Allmendinger to win Watkins Glen this weekend.
That's if he's had his meth. Amphetamine.
How you get?
Jeez, man.
That's bad.
It's all not right. Jeremy Mayfield, all
that's
right?
That's true.
Yeah, there you go, Jeremy.
Adderall, that's what he was having. All right, yeah. So Arnold Tarpley.
I've moved 18 up to the number one spot. I'm going to say 1A 18 and 1B is the four of Kevin Harvick because those two cars have been head and shoulders above everybody else. I've got the 19 of Carl Edwards in third.
See power ranking rules. You can't have a 1A and 1B.
Well, somebody was trying to have 78 and 18 both on this race on Monday. So
yeah, we're not gonna get into. I'm trying to change my pick on in text messages on Monday.
A different
though.
Day.
Yeah.
The 19 of Carl Edwards, I moved up to third. I got Brad Keselowski in the fourth spot. Kurt Busch, I still got him in the fifth spot. He's running strong, consistently, too. And I'm going to jump on the Tony Stewart bandwagon.
I'm
going to take him to win this race.
I like it. Is that my turn now?
That would be. That's silence.
That radio silence. Yes. That's what we call good radio.
Exactly.
I got Kyle Busch still sitting on top. I flip-flopped, even though Brad Keselowski finished second this week and finished higher than Harvick. Harvick had a strong car, and they've been strong. My concern with Harvick is when are you going to start winning races and not just finishing in the top five? Keselowski third. The 78 car, even though he was hitting everything possible this week, he was really bad fast. I got him fourth. I left Kurt Busch in fifth. It's still, you could actually insert your favorite other Toyota driver into that position, and it would be an okay pick. And I struggled all day today thinking about who my winner's going to be, and I still don't know. So I'm going to take the I'm going to take the – I don't want to do this. I'm going to do the 22 car of Joey Logano. How about that? That's horrible. No, I'm not taking the 10 car. There's not enough – no. So that's my power rankings for this week. Do want to remind everybody, Fast Talk is coming up after this show, I'm assuming. And Doug Rice welcomes Jeff Hammonds in as co-host and Xfinity driver Dakota Armstrong. And Jerry Jordan from KickTheTires.net, who's also a pretty good follow on Twitter. You can call. He's calling in, and that'll be up in just a few minutes right here on Talk 101.3 The Buzz.
There's so many people that should be paying you for spots.
There is no doubt about that. There's so many people that should be paying me.
KickTheTires.com, UnderTheHood.com.
It's actually KickTheTires.net.
DanicaPatrick.com.
He's trying to channel Carl Edwards.
That's true.
Hey, listen. One day he'll be walking over. I'll get up here and read off a whole bunch of sponsors.
Oh, goodness. All right. Well, that has been another edition. Thanks again to Alex Hayden with MRN for coming on the show. Tune in this weekend on 101.3 The Buzz for MRN coverage of the Glen. And I hope you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next week. It's the Finish Line powered by Home Rate Mortgage on 101.3
The Buzz.